good endeavor. We've been talking about work, so I kind of thought it would be nice to bring up that old Loverboy song, Everybody's Working for the Weekend, even at church. Week one, we looked at God's plan for work. And Nate came up and spoke very well, didn't he? Yeah. I mean, very impressed. Nate did it. And I love this hummingbird story. I went back and listened to that hummingbird story this past week from what Nate had done. And I love the hummingbird story and just the different stuff that Nate had shared on while he was up here. So, and Nate talked about that God's plan for work. So when we think about work in itself, you know, sometimes we think, that we're working only for the weekend when we're thinking about our jobs and what we're doing. And as Christians, we think about, okay, I wish I had this kind of job, or I wish I had that kind of job. And sometimes we don't think about what God's plan is for us about work. And when Pastor asked me about reading this book and stuff from Tim Keller and stuff, I thought, well, it's okay, since, you know, all of us do some type of work as it is anyway. So I decided I would do it, and I got to be honest, as I first started reading the introduction to this book and the foreword, my first question I had to myself, what did I get myself into? What did I get myself into? But then as I started going through the book more and more, and the first 2 weeks that we met on that, we were doing two chapters a week. We were going through reading two chapters a week, and then we were meeting at a little coffee shop and discussing what we had read. And as you can see, there's 12 basic chapters in three parts laid out by Tim Keller from the book Every Good Endeavor, and just getting the different perspectives on it was really, really interesting to me. I started getting more and more out of the book than I was doing on my own. And, you know, I started digging a little deeper and just getting, you know, other people's perspective. Like I said, the first 2 weeks, or like I was intending to say, but as I'm getting older, I forgot. I missed the first 2 weeks of the meetings. I did read my two chapters every week, but I had I was transitioning from working nights to going back and working days, so I missed the first two. And I don't think any single week that we met, all four of us were there at any one particular time. It was always three of us, but, you know, it was so nice that we were able to get together and go through this book and to think about work. And because so many of us are facing so many different trials, or have faced so many different trials regarding our work and how it fits in with us as being Christians. And that's what we're going to want to look at today. So I particularly wore what I wore today because I wanted to wear my boots. I'm a construction superintendent for a company called DPR Construction. I've been with them a little over 20 years. I started with DPR as a carpenter for them. And when I went to work for DPR, 20 years ago, and I was a carpenter, I told myself I was not going to run work anymore. I just wanted to put my bags back on as a carpenter and work 8 hours a day, go home at the end of the day, and not deal with the stress or responsibility about running a job or a project. And so that's what I did for about 2 or 3 days. I think it worked out pretty good. And see, that was my plan for work. That was my plan that I had came up with, that I had wanted to do. And our plans don't always match with what God's plan is. And I'm going to talk to this side of the room a lot but also this side of the room, because we got so many of you guys on this side of the room that are in the workforce and will be going even further in the workforce as the time goes on. But this is going to be the basis of our study, week four of Tim Keller's book, Every Good Endeavor. And just one, like I said, wanted to tell a little bit about myself. I've been a carpenter I got into construction in April of 1976 is when I got into construction. And I actually went to work for a small general contractor in San Antonio, Texas. And they hired me primarily to do painting. So I did a lot of painting. We did not painting of paintings, but painting of buildings. And we did a lot of 2 8-hour shifts a day. We would work an 8-hour morning shift, then we would go home and come back and work a 8-hour night shift. Did a lot of that back in those days. And some of the stuff that we did back in those days to be able to work those shifts, we're not going to talk about that. That's for another time. But we're looking at work and how I got to where I am. I have a lot of people tell me, I wish I had your job. And I tell them, you really don't know what I go through in a day. And we can sometimes look at work or somebody's job and say, I wish I was doing that. But yet we have no idea at all what they actually do for a living. We see one part of it, but we don't actually see the big picture until we really start getting involved in what they do. So we are going to pray before we actually get started, and we are going to want to look at a passage. And the passage that we want to look at will be from Colossians chapter 3. So if you have your house Bibles, Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. Very common passage. I believe, Devin, you used this in your message, and maybe someone else did too. Maybe we all are doing it using this one, but it's a very good passage in regards to work or whatever you're doing. It says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So whatever you do, do it all for the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come upon week four of this series that we've been doing on Tim Keller's book, Every Good Endeavor, Father God, we are thankful that you've allowed us to be a part of this. Father God, so many things that you have been doing in our lives that we sometimes take for granted. But you say there's a time and there's a place for everything under the sun, Lord. So we pray that you would open our hearts, and when it comes to work, Lord God, that you would open our hearts and know when the time to move, when the time to stay, when the time to be in total prayer. We pray for the wisdom, Lord God. We pray for wisdom that can only come from you through the power of your Holy Spirit, Father. Strengthen us. Help us to love one another. Help us that in our workplace, when they see us, that they see you. So, Father, we just pray for this message today, Lord God, and we pray for our hearts. We pray that your Holy Spirit will lead and that we will follow. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so backing to Nate had shared a little bit from chapter 1, I'm just going to touch on these a little bit because I don't want it to be a review of what we went through already, but more just a continuation of what we've already got out of the messages that were given over a little time ago. And I really appreciated Nate sharing his story and his testimony about work and everything like that, because that gave me the idea, well, I'm going to wear what I wear to work. I know Devin did it when he came up, and I thought that was good. This is what I generally wear when I go to work, something of this nature. Of course, with a vest, and I was going to show you a picture of myself with three other superintendents I work with. We were going to put it up on the board, and I emailed it to myself, but I had done so many more emails over the past few weeks that I couldn't find it in the last minute. So I did not share that. I could not bring that up, but I thought it would be good to just show a picture of myself and some of the jobs that I had been working on. One of the projects that I got to work on that wasn't a hospital, I got a chance to do the W.P. Carey School of Business over there at on the ASU Tempe campus. And for me, that was a fun project because the buildings are radiuses and the skylight. And my job on that building, my main job on that building was the skin of the building. So when you look, the skin of a building is the exterior portion of any building. That was my main focus. First, I get all the underground utilities in and get relocated, then we start the building. And then my main focus is to get the exterior skin of that building up so what people see when they drive by from the outside, that was my main focus on that job. All that brick and everything else like that. But as we start thinking about Tim Keller's book and what was originally shared and God's plan for work, found some very interesting stuff. I really enjoyed what Nate was sharing. Work isn't necessarily evil, was one of the things that he brought up. He said, we all have to do it, and it's not always fun. It's no fun. And he said, I work primarily for pay. These are one of the things that he brought up. If I didn't need money, one of the things he said, these were some of the truths, some of the stuff that he brought up that may not necessarily be true, but some of the things that we can say. If I didn't need money, I would finally be free from the pain and curse of work. Life is found in fun. The only way to have fun at work is to luck into a job that you love. So, to luck into a job that you love. I love doing what I do in construction. And so when we think about God's plan for work and stuff, I ask myself this one question. How did I get to where I am now? Because I love what I do. So work is God as part of God's plan. So I went through looking at a lot of different things, and we saw that God ordained work when it came to the Garden of Eden. Adam was given the commission to till the ground, and he also named all the animals. Those are some of the things that Nate also brought up. The fourth commandment tells us that we should labor 6 days. And then we should rest on the seventh day. Paul continues in Thessalonians, calling those who do not work busybodies and that they shall not eat, and warns us to stay away from them. So then he also goes on to talk about the hardworking farmer who should receive the first, be able to receive, the first share of what he's harvesting. So work is part of God's big picture that he has for us, that we're here, that we are going to work, that God wants us to work, and that work in itself isn't bad. God created all things, and he revealed that in his sovereignty, he progresses created order through a process of creation. And so, we keep on going. Our actual work matters to God now and eternally. So we can ask ourselves, and this is one of the things I believe Nate asked, do what I do in life matter? So we ask ourselves, are we at the right job maybe? Because what we do in life should matter. The plans that we have for our work, for our life, matter to God. It matters so much that he ordained the plan before creation of time that work for us to do and that we should walk in it. So if we're at a point in our lives where we don't think that what we do matters, a couple things. One, we either not walking into what God had wanted us to do, or two, we need to take a second look at where we are and be in prayer. So those one, and I don't think any one person can tell anyone if you're doing the right thing as far as work. That's something that each of us need to be in prayer about and ask ourselves, is this what God wants me to do with my life? I think about so many of mothers who give up all their time to stay home and take care of their kids and stuff. And some of them may have had successful careers in other places. And then all of a sudden this child comes along and they decide to stay at home. Is the job that they're doing now any less significant than the job they were doing before? Now, does everybody get to have that same blessing? Not everybody can do that. I know my wife and I were talking to some of our kids and stuff with the financial situations that they're going through now. And I can remember one of our daughters telling us how much their rent was. And, you know, we're trying to help them with a budget because it was like, well, no, you can do things cheaper. And you know what? As I started looking and searching, things have gone up quite a bit, hasn't it? It is not cheap to live out there anymore, is it? I mean, and for those of you who are younger that are going through that right now, have you guys ever watched Mr. T? On something, and one of his favorite comments, I pity the poor fool or whatever, the way he used to say it. And yes, he is a Christian now. But anyway, I sat back and, you know, I look and I think, man, I'm glad I'm not bringing up a family with little kids right now. It's tough. And you guys have to deal with this day in and day out. And then so many of you on this side of the room will be going through that. Well, not everybody, Chuck. Some of us are in the Geritol League, and we're going to be graduating out of that pretty soon. But it is tough. It is tough to make a living and to take care of our families nowadays. And so we have to ask ourselves, what does God want us to do? Is it the same for this person as it is for this person? Since God's calling is not the same on all of our lives as far as the specifics go, yes, God wants us to live a healthy and successful life. But what is success? What truly is success in God's eyes? Is success in God's eyes our relationship with him? Or is success in God's eyes how much money we have in the bank? And if our neighbor makes $200,000 a year and we make $25,000 a year, does that make us any less significant or less successful than our neighbor? So God's plan is that we work, but the specifics of our work is not the same. God gave me a different gift and a different talent than he gave, say, Bob. I can't do what Bob does. I can't do what John does. But God gave us each specific gifts and talents to use. And so when we use those specific gifts and talents, we're to use them for not just our own good, but the good of those around us. Oh, and by the way, like I said, I was a carpenter for quite a few years, quite a few years. I didn't move into the supervisory role until like 2004. In 2001, they started training me to start doing it. So I was doing it, but as an unofficial capacity. And, you know, one thing they said about, work or jobs, specific jobs with our company, is that you can grow into those jobs. They try to teach us at our company that if we have a desire to do something, it doesn't mean it's going to happen overnight, but it does mean that we're going to start working and progressing in that manner. We're going to start moving towards that work. There was something else that I believe that I wanted to share as we continue to move on, because the one area of Tim Keller's book that I wanted to, you know, in this look would be our problem when it comes to work, which was part two. And I didn't print this one in color, and it's going to be kind of hard to see, but I kind of thought this was really interesting. Most American employers do their best to pay their employees well. Most Americans believe that the people we work for are doing the best to pay us well. That's something that, this was from a survey that was taken, that most Americans believe that our employers, so if most Americans believe that our employers are doing their best and to pay us well, I went through and I was looking at a couple survey to think about what our problem with work is. A recent study by Career Builders showed that a whopping 58% of managers said that they didn't receive any management training before they got the job as a manager. 58%. And then another survey shows that 89% of bosses believe employees quit because they want more money for their job. So I'm going to ask a question over here. Why do you feel most people quit the job that they're on? How many have ever quit a job or left a job? I have never left a job for money. Well, I did once. Okay. But it just came to my mind as I was thinking about this. Okay, when I came up here, my mind was set that I never had. But anyway, it's amazing how we can think back over the years. Somebody who left a job for whatever reason on this side, can someone share why they left their job? If you would like to. I would like to have someone share why they left a job. You got a better job. Had nothing to do with money. Just a better job. Okay. It was one of those jobs that you liked. Okay. So the survey says that as much as any boss, and I get to be in that category, would like to believe that's true, that 89% of people leave their jobs for money reason, only 12% of employees actually leave an organization for money. A big disparity. Those in management says the person left because they wanted more money. Those surveys from jobs say no, they left because of another reason. It had nothing to do with money. Nothing at all to do with money. Lover Boys, Working for the Weekend, still ranks number 100 on VH1's 100 Greatest Songs of the 80s. Because people still relate to that song when it comes to work. That song never made it to number one on Billboard's chart. It never even made it in the top 10 or top 20 on Billboard's chart, except for some specific rock charts. But as far as their overall charts, it never made it to the top 20. But that song had longevity because we as workers sometimes kind of think that our job is meaningless and we're only working to get to the weekend. I've said that myself at different times. I worked for a boss. His name was Bob. So I've got Bob on my mind, and I'm not going to mention his last name. And I shared this with the group when we were having coffee and talking about this book. The Bob I worked for was one of those gentlemen that screamed and yelled, called you names and stuff like that. And he would do it one day. And, you know, I would dwell on that overnight. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm ready to give him both barrels tomorrow when he starts this. That was in my mind. And the next day I'd come in, the guy was as nice as could be. Where did it come from? And this was common. This was common. So then he was so nice the following day that you loved your job. Then the next day, it started again. And it was like it was a Jekyll and Hyde. It was bad. I loved the company, and finally they switched me to another crew. I actually started working on a different crew to begin with, but then we had some layoffs and deals where a lot of the crews were combined together because work had gotten bad. And then he was actually stuck with me when he never even knew me. And all of a sudden they gave him a bunch of new people, and the people that he did know from his crew and that he did like from his crew, he didn't have anymore. So Bob wasn't very happy with the fact that he had his crew set up the way he wanted it, and now all of a sudden he had a different crew. Now here's another interesting statistics when we think about our problem when it comes to work. A recent review survey reveals 58% of people say they trust strangers more than their own bosses. How are we Christians? We're supposed to be different in our workplaces. And if we're in management in our workplaces, we want that to be true of ourselves. 58% of people who they talk to say they trust strangers more than they trust their own bosses. And I'm not going to keep going through this except one more. I'll do one more. Global studies reveal that 79% of people who quit their jobs cite lack of appreciation as the reason they actually left the job. 79% of people who quit their job from a recent survey say they left their job due to lack of appreciation. So that brings me to, I think, a very good part as far as we as Christians, what are we called to do? And so, and I'm thinking of this calling as something that is related to our work, is related to something that we just do with one another, that is not just for work, it's in our everyday life. So if you would, turn with me to the book of Hebrews. This is a passage that we use quite a bit. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, if the study said 79% of people who left their jobs felt unappreciated, and if we're in a managerial or just even in a position at all, it doesn't have to be that you're the manager of this company, you're working for this company, what should we be doing setting ourselves apart as Christians? How about I suggest that we're encouraging one another? We're not judging. We're not saying, no, you need to stay here, because we don't know their overall circumstance. But we do need to be there loving and encouraging one another. We're to encourage one another as believers, as Christians and brothers anyway. Now, what better way, whether our fellow employees are Christians or non-Christians, does it really matter? Their soul matters to God, and so we should be an encouragement so that as they look back and they think about the different people that they work with, they're thinking, yeah, there's something to these Christian people. These people that I work with, there's something to them. I had a good friend by the name of Mike Klaus. I'll say his first and second name because I haven't seen him in years, but it doesn't matter because he moved to Oklahoma from here years ago. Him and I, when I first went to work in California, him and I went to work together. Some of those early trips that him and I went and worked together. And Mike was one of those guys that would give you the shirt off of his back. If you were broke down, Mike would stop. Whatever he was doing or where he was going was not that important that he had to be there right now, that he didn't have time to stop and help someone. That was Mike. Now, Mike was not a believer in God. And in fact, he believed that most Christians, well, I don't want to go into what he believed about most Christians. And Mike knew me prior to my conversion, prior to God taking over my life. And I can remember I got a chance to share with Mike on quite a few occasions. Mike even went to church with me one time in one of the places I went. And it was a church that I knew nothing about. I took a person that had a bad experiences with churches and stuff, and we had a lousy experience at that church we went to. Unfortunately, they were judgmental and everything like that, openly. And so Mike, just reinforced what he believed about Christians. But as Christians, we are to set an example in all that we do in our work, and especially at work, since we're talking about work. We need to be there encouraging one another, and we need to be there just loving one another. What's another problem when it comes to work? It doesn't meet our expectations. What are our expectations about work? What are you looking for about work? And I think about my expectations of work and how I started. In 1974, I was 17 years old. We'll go back, so you can do your math real quick if you want to figure out how old I am now. But anyway, in 1974, I was 17 years old, and I took a aptitude test. This was a two-hour test that was done back in those days. And I can't remember the exact time, to be honest. It was either 2 to 4 hours that the test took. Anyways, one of the things that it told me to stay away from. First, I'll tell you one of the things that it told me that I should be doing. The type of work I should be doing should be somewhat in the medical or clerical field. The work that they told me to stay away from, that I scored the lowest on, was anything to do with mechanical, carpentry, or construction at all. I scored the lowest in that. To be perfectly honest with you, I got a very low score in that. So I can remember sitting and talking with one of the people who, I want to say directors or somebody who handled that. One of the things they told me was, never do construction work. You won't make it. Since 1976, I've been in the construction field. I've gotten out for a little while to do different other little things, but for short whiles that my heart was telling me that what God was calling me to do. But I've always come back to this, and I love doing what I do. I loved building houses, but I got out of home building because I used to like to build houses that had detail to them, that when you looked at the house from the outside, it really stood out. I used to love to do that. What's another problem that we may have with work? We don't like being told what to do. How many of us like being told what to do? And then sometimes we're being told by somebody we're wondering, do they know what they're doing? Have any of you ever been in that situation or position that you felt that the person you were being instructed? And remember, one of the first surveys I talked about was 58% of managers were put in their position without any prior training. And I like the way DPR, the company I work for, brought me into my position. Was I actually was doing it for about 3 years before I was officially doing it. And I worked under quite a few other senior superintendents. And even as a new superintendent, I worked under them for quite a while. That kind of helped bring it on. The gospel and work, we know that and that was the last part of this, the gospel and work, a new story for work, a conception of work, new compass for work, and new power for work. I really thought Ryan did a great job with what he did on his sharing and stuff of these meetings. And I got a lot of good stuff from what Devin done and everything of that nature. And we talked about people's worldview. We each have a worldview based on our experiences, whether it's right or wrong or whatever. We each have that worldview. And one of the questions that, because of our worldview, I wanted to ask, and I'm not going to go through all of these because we're starting to get a little bit into time, but one of the questions was, what is your problem? Each person thinking about it themselves. What is your problem when it comes to your work that you're doing now? Just something to think about. What is the problem that you have with work right now? Could it be our expectations? One of the passages in Luke 2, who much is given, much is expected. Luke 12:48. Do we have desires and expectations about work we do? If so, what are we willing to give to get to where we are? Now, then that's over here. Well, I guess that's over here too. How many of you guys are still in school? So a good part of this. What are you giving up to go to school? There's a cost. To go to school, I mean, I'm assuming that you have a desire and an expectation to do something that you're being trained to do. You're hoping to get a job in a certain field. So there's the desires and expectation that God's going to take you a certain place. And then as time goes on, you're going to see how that works. and how that goes. Some of you are already working in certain jobs already, and some of you are going to be going into other jobs and stuff. Can someone share, just real briefly, what they're hoping to do in the future with their life and what they're doing right now? That's a hard one. We get into habits, good habits, bad habits. The other day, I was at a water faucet, and I was in the bathroom, and I just finished using the bathroom, and I was at the faucet washing my hands, and I had just put the soap on my hands, and I was doing, the deal with my hands, and I started waving my hands under the faucet, and no water was coming, so I started waving it again, and I realized that it was not an automatic faucet. We can sometimes get into a habit that a certain thing is a certain way, and we have these expectations that this is all we need to do. And we don't pay attention sometimes to the whole deal. It was not an automatic faucet. So I could wave my hand all day long. It was not going to do anything until I lifted the handle. Our expectations is what we're doing meeting our expectations. When we allow God to be our expectation and allow Him to lead us, He's going to direct our path. And He's going to lead us where we need to go. That doesn't mean it's going to happen overnight. That doesn't mean it's going to happen in just a moment. It may take a little time. But we're going to get to where we need to be. God is faithful. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us, even in the jobs that we are doing. Nothing that we're doing is meaningless. If we think of it as a stepping stone, we feel that God has something important for us and we're trusting Him one step at a time. He will get us to where we are supposed to be. And if we let our desires become the desires of His heart, we need that new heart of flesh. I know in Ezekiel, God told the Israelites that He would take away the heart of stone they had and give them a heart of flesh. But that was once they turned from their wicked ways and turned to Him. And God, I believe, is telling us, it's okay to have desires. It's okay to have thoughts, wants. But when we let His Holy Spirit rule our hearts and rule our minds, He will direct our path to where we need to be. So, if you're having a hard time with your work right now, or if you're looking for work and you have a desire to be in a certain part, know and trust that God will get you to where you need to be. But we have to stay faithful and trust Him one step at a time. And just know that it may be a stepping stone. We're going to have to go through a little fire to get to where we need to be. But remember that the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had to go through the furnace. But God was with them in the furnace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for Your word, and we're grateful for the fact that we know, Lord God, that whatever we do, that we're to work it with all of our hearts, Lord God, knowing that it's for You in the end, Lord God. When we set our desires, that our desires would be, Father God, that your Holy Spirit would lead us, guide us, and direct our steps, Father. So, Father, I pray for those that are just getting out in the work field or who will be just entering the work field. I pray for us who are in the work field, Lord God, and that sometimes things don't go the way that we want them to, but you will never leave us. You will never forsake us. And that as we trust you, you will direct our path. So help us, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.